search of a new deal. SNY says the Jets won't negotiate with Reddick until he shows up. He's due to make $14.25 million this year.
Fox Sports update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new daily specials. And check out the great new golf shop. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, this is your Agribusiness Update. The USDA announced the deadline for commodity and specialty crop producers to apply for the Emergency Relief Program for 2022 natural disaster losses is August 14th. FSA Administrator Zach Ducheneau says if natural disasters impacted your farm or ranch in 2022, there's still time to submit your application. Ducheneau says gather your documents and contact your local office to complete the process. The National Corn Growers Association joined five other commodity groups in a letter to Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo on possible herbicide tariffs. The groups are asking her to consider the impacts on farmers as she reviews a petition by ag chemical company Corteva that would put duties on imports of the herbicide 2,4-D. The letter says American farmers cannot rely solely on Corteva, the only domestic supplier of 2,4-D, when there's not enough to meet demand. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is looking for the next singing sensation to perform the national anthem at February's CattleCon 2025 in San Antonio. The NCBA National Anthem Contest is accepting entries through October 15th at convention.ncba.org. The winner will receive round-trip airfare to San Antonio, three-night hotel stay, plus a pair of boots, jeans, and a shirt from Roper or Stetson. Any member of the NCBA, American National Cattlewomen, the Cattlemen's Beef Board, or family members are eligible.
For over 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been providing news and information for the most important industry in the world, agriculture. The Ag Information Network gives you worldwide updates from local producers to regional organizations, from major crops like wheat and corn to animal agriculture to specialty crops like apples, almonds, and cherries. We report on stories that mean the most to you. Online at aginfo.net, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism lasting for the next generation.
Do you know a veteran in need? Nation's Finest, through the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, helps veterans and their families struggling with rent, employment, and other housing-related costs. Today, Nation's Finest operates more than 30 locations in California, Arizona, and Nevada, helping thousands of veterans every year. Visit nationsfinest.org or call 1-833-468-9676. That's 1-833-468-9676.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Jerry Willis, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks are searching for direction and are mixed in afternoon trading as investors digest a new crop of earnings reports and eagerly await results from mega-cap companies Alphabet and Tesla after the closing bell today. And Wiz says no deal. The cybersecurity startup has reportedly rejected a $23 billion acquisition proposal from Google parent Alphabet. Wiz will now pivot back to a previously planned initial public offering. And Coca-Cola reporting second quarter earnings and revenue that beat Wall Street estimates despite a still challenged consumer. The company's premium brands in other categories like milk and juice help boost its business. And shares of GE Aerospace are taking off and rising 7% to a 16-year high after the jet engines maker reported second quarter profit that was well above forecast amid a big jump in orders. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Donald Trump Jr. here. Since January of 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back, but you can stop your losses by diversifying into a gold IRA from my friends at Birch Gold Group. To learn more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. That's shelter to the number 989898 to get your free info kit from Birch Gold now.
Message and data rates may apply.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
The judge said, roll out the barrel. And the brewer was faced with a dilemma. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
If you made a product that could only be shipped long distances under refrigeration, but refrigeration wasn't always available, thus risking spoilage and the disappointment and even ire of your customers, you might want to restrict the sale of your product to an area where you could be sure it would be delivered in top condition, right? Wrong, said a federal district judge recently, in ruling that the Adolph Coors Company of Colorado could no longer limit the geographical territory in which its beer is distributed. Now keep in mind that beer is a perishable commodity. It has a shelf life of about 3 months before the flavor begins to deteriorate in the bottle and its quality goes downhill. Most brewers mark the shelf life dates of their product in one way or another on six packs and on cases. Some even send their salesmen around to the stores to remove outdated beer from time to time, to make sure the customers get what they're paying for, fresh beer. The Coors people told the court that they had a special problem. It seems theirs is the only beer in America that is unpasteurized. It's made by the so-called aseptic process. This gives it a particular flavor. The trouble is that the unpasteurized product must be transported only under refrigeration, or it'll begin to deteriorate well before the normal shelf life limit. To complicate the problem, Coors has only one brewery, and it's in the Rocky Mountains. They claim that refrigerated transportation isn't always available for hauling their beer nearly 2,000 miles to the East Coast. So for many years, they've restricted themselves to being a regional brand, selling only in 11 western states where they felt they could be sure of delivering their product under the proper conditions. Thirsty Easterners, meanwhile, were paying about four times as much as Westerners for the occasional deliveries of the brewery's suds that somehow found their way eastward. The judge was unmoved by the brewery's argument. His ruling was that the Coors firm was engaged in what were called illegal, anti-competitive business practices. Now that's a little odd when you consider that this firm is operating in a highly competitive field in which all the competing companies clamor vigorously for the public's attention and its favor. In fact, it's precisely because they have been successfully competitive that Coors has risen to become the nation's fourth largest brewer, even though it's regional rather than national in scope. Presumably, the court case will be appealed, so the final outcome can't be predicted. Meanwhile, those thirsty Easterners may get that Rocky Mountain brew they've been wanting. But will the brewer be able to deliver it in the condition in which they'll want to drink it? You know, the judge didn't offer any suggestions about that. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday, and it's 12:30, and it's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Our guests and topics today, our first is Ashley Wilkins, Senior Wealth Manager at the Rice Partnership. We're going to talk about the financial markets as we head into the year end and the presidential election, something called a Delaware Statutory Trust. It's an opportunity you're going to learn about, and investment strategies as millennials and Gen Zers begin planning for retirement. Ashley, welcome back to Protecting What Matters.
Thanks for having me.
It's always fun. It's always fun. And at 1 o'clock, we're going to have District Attorney Dan Dow. We're going to talk about getting a handle on crime in California and the importance of Proposition 36 on the November ballot. Also, there was a big Supreme Court case last month, the city of Grants Pass, Oregon versus Johnson, which hopefully will empower law enforcement agencies and the district attorneys to reduce homelessness and public integrity, major fraud, and human trafficking in Slo County. Call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So Ashley, this is I think your third or fourth visit.
Yeah.
But give the audience your the high points of your career so far and your life.
So I'm a senior wealth manager, as you mentioned. We work we're a boutique investment firm. We're an independent investment firm. So we're owned privately owned. We work with about 400 families, high net worth families. And we do everything from investment management, portfolio management, real estate analysis, financial planning, estate planning, tax planning, all of the things.
And you have offices in Hawaii and San Luis Obispo and Paso Robles, right?
Yep. Oahu, Maui, Paso Robles, and San Luis Obispo.
How cool is that? How cool is that? All right. Well, before we get into finances and again, this is not a political question, but I'm a big on the whole theory of generational history. And whenever I have a young person like yourself, a mid-wave millennial, as I'd refer to you as, I think that's about right. I'm very interested in your opinion on what's been going on in our country for the last 10 days. I mean, it seems like a whirlwind. I mean, since Trump got shot at.
And right.
So what do you think? What are your impressions of this whole place we're in?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the attempted assassination is a horrible, horrible event. And you know, there's a lot of negative things happening in the world. But I guess I am more of an optimist. And you know, there's actually a book that I read recently called "The Same as Ever" by Morgan Housel, and he also wrote one of my favorite books ever about investing called "The Psychology of Money." But "Same as Ever" concentrates on, you know, instead of all the things that have changed in the past, what has actually stayed the same? Mm-hmm. What remains true throughout history? And it just gives you a good perspective that, you know, there's been really, really bad times in history. And relatively, I think we're in a pretty good time, despite all of the, you know, negative headlines and, you know, things happening out there. So I'm going to remain an optimist and happy to, you know, have two little kids growing up here in Paso Robles and, you know, today's day and age.
Well, it's good. I mean, you know, most of the millennials and Gen Zers that I know are pretty optimistic as well. It's kind of like, well, you know, we've been here, we've done it, we'll do it again kind of thing. So that's a good attitude to have. All right, let's get to the first question. Let's start with your firm's financial analysis of investment performance of first half of 2024 and going forward.
Yeah. So, you know, the first half of this year has been great. As of yesterday's close, the S&P 500, which is the index we track the most, was up over 17%. So closing right above 5,500. We're only 100 points away from all-time highs that we saw earlier this month. So it's been a really good year for the stock market. Most of the year, you know, before the last couple of weeks, a lot of that gain was very concentrated in a few stocks. You know, you've probably heard of the Magnificent Seven, but specifically artificial intelligence stocks and obesity drugs, stocks that have obesity drugs like Eli Lilly and Novo Nordic. But recently, in the last couple of weeks, that rally has started to broaden to other stocks, smaller stocks. And that's, you know, in anticipation of potentially rate cuts coming down.
Yeah. And I guess one of the analyses that I read was that as interest rates come down, it's the smaller businesses.
Right.
Will, and that, so it's really the small caps that are moving up.
Yeah. So if you look at different, you know, different indexes like the Russell 2000, even the Russell 1000, there's a lot more companies in those indexes that are not profitable and they have floating rate debt. So if you have a floating rate debt, then, you know, it benefits if the interest rates go down versus the S&P 500 and some of the stronger, you know, Magnificent Seven stocks. Most of those companies have fixed rate, you know, interest rate loans. So they're not as affected as the interest rates. So definitely as rates start going down, it'll be more beneficial for the smaller companies.
And where are you seeing the risks in the market at this point?
Yeah. So, you know, this kind of is our general philosophy, is that we see more risk in companies that are not profitable, companies that don't have a lot of cash, you know, companies that have to borrow a lot of money. And that's, you know, just kind of in general, not necessarily in today's economic environment. But, you know, we tend to stick with the companies that are profitable, have lots of cash, have good management. You know, we're trying to invest in companies that we think will do well in different types of economic environments.
So do you think we're going to see some interest rate cuts this year?
Yeah. So, you know, the Fed's going to be watching every single data point that comes out, every report. And, you know, forecasting is not a science. It's more of an art. But our prediction is that there'll be two rate cuts this year.
So as money is rotating out of the Magnificent Seven, Where are you recommending that money go to?
So, you know, we've consistently been rebalancing. And as some of those stocks that have done really well, we've been trimming them throughout the year and just trying to keep the position in check. And then putting that money into stocks that haven't done as well, you know, this year, but will do well as things turn.
And gold is almost at almost $2,500 an ounce right now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So you're still bullish on gold?
Yep. We still own gold in our portfolios as a, you know, a small percentage of the portfolio. And that's really an insurance policy on, you know, everything.
And what about now that Trump is all about Bitcoin or cryptos, where are you standing on cryptos these days?
I haven't really changed my stance on crypto. You know, I think it's, you know, probably closer to, it's not something that we want to invest in. You know, yeah. It reminds me a little bit of a Ponzi scheme that, you know, the more money that goes into this, you know, into Bitcoin, the more profitable it gets. And there's not a whole ton of actual value underneath. There is value in the blockchain technology, but I'm not convinced yet that Bitcoin is the next thing. But that could definitely change.
Yeah. So there was an interesting article. It's from Fisher Investments that I shot to you, and about disinflation. That you know, their philosophy here, or their thinking is that we've seen quite a bit of disinflation already. I mean, to me, that's a little counterintuitive, since all the prices ran, you know, inflation was so high for the last 3 years. So what do you see the impacts of disinflation? If we are really at disinflation, what's the impact of that going to be?
Well, I don't think, you know, I think the disinflation is concentrated to a few, you know, specific goods like cars, for example, you know, was one of the things that the article referenced. You know, overall, we still have inflation. Inflation is still over 2%. So that means in general, you know, everything's still going up by 2%. That's the target. And so, you know, I don't think we're going to see overall, you know, when you're looking at your budget and where your money's going, things aren't going to get cheaper overall. There's certain, you know, specific items that are getting cheaper, but overall things are still going up at 2% a year.
Right. And And that, yes. I don't know why they picked 2%, but whatever. they haven't been able to hit it. All right, one last question. There was an interesting article from some guy who's says there's a black swan on the horizon. And these kind of guys, to me, are always like, they're right twice, you know, like a clock, a broken clock.
Yeah.
So what do you, I mean, obviously there's a lot of geopolitical risk going on out there.
Yeah.
And a risk of having a president who's not really in charge anymore. So what are your thoughts on a major correction in the market at some point in the not too distant future?
Yeah. So there's always a black swan coming down the pipeline. We just don't know what it is and when it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, is the market going to go up? Yes. Is the market going to go down? Yes. Yeah. I just don't know when it's going to go up and when it's going to go down. But over time, you know, we hope that the market goes up. And, you know, in if you look at history, the market's gone up about 10%, looking at the S&P 500, about 10% a year on average. So, you know, yes, that Black Swan event is coming down the pipeline. To us, what we think is the biggest long-term risk out there is the fact that neither political party has addressed the national debt.
Yep.
You have one party that wants to, you know, subsidize a lot of programs, and then you have the other party that wants to cut taxes. So neither one of those things really decreases our national debt. And that, you know, is not an immediate threat, but could be a long-term threat if not addressed over the next 10 years, for say.
Well, we're going to get that on the other side of the break, because Medicare and Social Security are going bust if they don't do something here. So but we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Let's talk about an area that you're very active in. You know, folks have a great deal of wealth tied up in commercial real estate. So a strategy that you've been helping clients with is something called a Delaware Statutory Trust. So take your time here. We've got about, six or seven minutes in the left in the segment. So go ahead and kind of unpack that for us.
Yeah. So, you know, most of our clients own real estate. And, you know, if you live in California, that real estate is probably very valuable. And a lot of people also own investment real estate. Rentals, you know, office buildings, things like that. Our general guidelines for having, you know, good investment real estate is that we want it to at least cash flow 4% a year. Plus, we're, you know, hoping it appreciates at some level. And historically, real estate appreciates about 3% a year nationwide. So if you're getting 4% cash flow, 3% appreciation, you have about a 7% return. Mm-hmm. The problem is a lot of, you know, people are sitting on real estate that has appreciated quite a bit, and the cash flow hasn't kept up. So when you look at, you know, what your property's worth today versus what it's cash flowing today, you might not be at those, you know, 4%+ return levels. But at the same time, you can't really sell it without paying capital gains. So a 1031 exchange is what, you know, the vehicle that a lot of people use to get out of those, you know, properties that they don't want to be invested in anymore. The problem is, you know, traditionally with a 1031, you have to find another property that you do want to own and manage going forward. And, you know, depending on your individual circumstance, if you're retiring and you don't want to deal with tenants, or maybe have a property that is, you know, you just don't want to deal with the headache and all of those things going forward, the DST can be a great solution. And what the DST is you utilize a 1031 exchange, and the proceeds from the original property get moved into the DST, which, you know, as an example, it could be an apartment building in Texas, for example. The management is taken care of. You're not going to have any tenants calling you.
Slow down for a second. So you sell your property, mm-hmm. your rental property.
Correct.
You put the money into
escrow.
Okay.
And then from escrow, it goes into
that's buying. Okay. So, okay. I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah. No, that's it. Let me know if I go too fast. Yeah. So yeah, your money goes to escrow, similar, you know, with any property sale, it stays at escrow until you identify your replacement property.
What kind of fees are involved with the DST?
So if you go through a traditional broker, which we are not, the broker is getting a 5% commission usually. If you work with an independent RIA, we don't take commissions. And so the client actually gets the 5% commission up front.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then we charge an annual fee for doing the due diligence on the property going forward. But all of the, you know, returns and everything are going to be net of all the fees.
But it can go into, like, some of the DSTs, for instance, they can be public storage. They could be other apartment
industrial buildings. Office, Amazon warehouse, right. It could be any kind of, you know, commercial property.
Do you like the notion of diversifying different DSTs?
We really like multifamily, because the more doors you have, the less your risk is.
Right.
So, you know, if you have a apartment building that has 300 units, that's going to lower your risk, right? Because you're not just, you know, relying on one tenant to pay the rent. So the less doors you get, the more risky you get. And so if you want to do something that's a little bit more risky, like an office or industrial property, you should be compensated for that. So you should be getting higher returns.
Got it. And so obviously this helps the client, the property owner avoid capital gains tax in the short run, right?
Yeah.
What happens down the line?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, depending on your individual circumstance, if you sell it down the line, you have to pay tax at that point. But if if it's set up correctly and, you want your beneficiaries to inherit that investment, they'll get a step up in cost basis at your death. Mm-hmm. And so they could potentially sell it without any capital gains.
And of course, so if somebody owns property, they live in California and they own property here, and you get killed on capital gains because it's ordinary income when you get your capital gains.
Correct, for California.
For California.
Right. And then federal, it's taxed at either 15 or 20%.
Right. So then the next question is, somebody is living in California, they put it into the DST, and then they leave California. Do they get to avoid the California tax, or do they get nailed after the fact?
You're going to have to talk to your CPA about that.
Oh, come on.
I mean, California is tracking down, people that are leaving mm-hmm. and trying to get the tax that they're owed. Mm-hmm. So it's up to the individual taxpayer to prove, when you left and all of that.
Wow.
And that, I defer to the CPA on specific tax advice.
That's got to be pretty ugly if the state of California comes after you, huh?
I wouldn't want that. Yeah.
So do you want, the last couple of minutes we have left, do you have a quick case study that worked out really well for somebody?
We do quite a few of them. I have one case study where, the client sold a piece of property and they actually found another piece of property that they wanted to own individually, mm-hmm. Traditionally one owner. However, let's say they sold the original property for $1 million. The replacement that they found was only $700,000. So then they were able to use the DST to fill up the gap.
Got it.
With, what was left over at $300,000, so that they didn't have to pay any capital gain. So it can be used in combination with, other types of real estate as well.
So when you were on the show last time, this kind of went hand in hand with these opportunity zones, didn't it?
Yeah.
So what's going on with those? Those are ending at the end of the year, right?
Yeah. So you can still invest in opportunity zone until December 31st. That could be extended depending on what happens, probably with this election and what happens in Congress. But opportunity zones are good for deferring any type of capital gain. So if you, were in a stock and you sold it and you have a capital gain, you can reinvest that into an opportunity zone. Other mostly stock gains is what I've seen people, if you sell a business. So I had a client sell their business. We're going to owe a lot of capital gains, so they reinvested that into an opportunity zone. And then the other thing that we see is primary residences.
Yeah.
So primary residences are not eligible for 1031 exchanges, and you get $500,000 if you're married. That is exempt from capital gains. But if you've lived in California for a long time, you might have more than $500,000 gain, and so you could invest part of that into an opportunity zone.
When I went to the presentation that you had over at the Allegretto, weren't there some local opportunity zones that were available? How did that all pan out?
Well, yes, Paso Robles has an opportunity zone. I think we might be sitting in one right now, in the opportunity zone right now. It's in this area of Paso. Yeah. But the funds that we use tend to be more on the outskirts of big metropolitan areas.
Mm-hmm.
Currently we don't have any funds that have any investments in Paso Robles, but individuals can still look into doing that themselves.
Okay.
It's just it's a big threshold to get qualified.
Cool. Well, you just hit the mark right on time with the bumper music. You are so perfect. All right, folks, when we get back, we'll be talking to Ashley about investment advice for young investors and Social Security and Medicare and that big old national debt we're staring down a barrel at us. So please stand by. We'll be right back.
I'm not usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
It's hot, and that must mean it's fair time again. Wesley here with Stove and Spa Center. 36 years ago, Stove and Spa Center introduced our business to the locals at the Mid-State Fair. It was a great opportunity to let everyone know who we were and what products we had to offer. We still have fair sale prices on all of our products here in our showroom. So, if you want a great deal on a spa, swim spa, gas, wood, or pellet insert and stove, fireplace, come visit us. We offer number one selling brands available like Hot Springs, the most energy efficient spas built, or our gas, wood, or pellet stoves and inserts and fireplaces. Cozy Heat, Harman, Kuma, Hearthstone, and Electric Fireplaces. All these brands are on sale and give you the ability to save energy costs this winter. So please celebrate summer with us. Enhance your life. Save energy. Save money. Stove and Spa Center, 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero, between Curbarillo and Morrill Roads.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Ashley Wilkin, Senior Wealth Manager of the Rice Partnership. Call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So before we go on to the next topics, folks, Ashley, the Rice Partnership has a great website. You can get all of these financial projections that they're on the website. And how? What's the website address again?
TheRicePartnership.com.
Okay, and so there's great information there, and you can also, I'm sure, connect with Ashley if you have some want some information on some of the things she's been talking about. So, okay, so you know, we've had a number of guests on PWM who've spoken about behavioral finance and how they work with folks to help them better become better savers and investors and better at spending money, or not spending money is usually what the case is. So what are your thoughts on this, and how do you approach this with clients, and particularly younger investors who have some anxiety, I think, about being able to start saving some money, right?
Yes. I mean, everything is so expensive, and especially with inflation and, you know, childcare costs and cost of housing, everyone's budget is constrained. But I cannot stress enough that the key to investing is starting early. You know, compound interest is magic. My mom has a saying, fire the wheel and compound interest, you know, man's three greatest inventions. And the earlier you start, the more that compound interest will work for you. Jim Cramer, who is a famous investor on CNBC every day, he started investing when he was living in his car. Mm-hmm. He didn't own a house. You know, he had a job, and he would put in a couple, you know, whatever he could every week into his investment account. So if a homeless guy living in his car can start investing, so can you.
That's pretty funny.
So, you know, I definitely recommend starting early, even if it's with a small amount. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing to do is set it up on auto pay. So pay yourself first. You know, you pay your taxes and you pay, do an automatic transfer to your investment account when you get paid. And that way you don't have to think about it. Because if you actually have to manually transfer money into your investment account, it probably is not going to happen. So I recommend setting it on autopilot and then forgetting about it and letting it do its thing.
There's apps that do that for everybody who wants to do everything on their phone, right?
Yeah. And I recommend Schwab Intelligent Portfolios has a good program. It's a robo-advisor that you can do directly with Schwab. It's free. They will invest it for you once you fill out a risk tolerance questionnaire and you can set on autopilot and forget your password and, you know, look at it 10 years later, you'll be amazed.
What are you advising younger clients about investing in 401ks and stuff like that? I mean, is that always do it or only when the employer is matching a portion of it? What's your advice on that?
You definitely want to always be investing towards your retirement, especially because we don't know what Social Security is going to look like down the road. So I definitely recommend starting with your employer 401k, especially if there's a match. That is the first bucket that you want to fill up, is that you want to make sure that you're maxing out the match at a minimum, because that if you're not doing that, you're leaving money on the table. And then once you fill up that bucket, then you can look at individual retirement accounts. And then if you're self-employed, there's also options for you. There's individual 401ks, which are a newer account type. There's SEP IRAs, which is a self-employed pension IRA. And then beyond that, there's Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs. And then beyond that, you know, if you're not looking at, once you fill up your retirement bucket, then you can start investing in, you know, what I call the non-retirement bucket, which is not tax advantaged, but still an important part to invest for. Things like, you know, buying a house and other expenses that are not retirement that will come earlier. So that's kind of the second bucket. And then, you know, if you're a older millennial like me, you might have young kids, then you want to start investing, you know, saving money for them. And that's where we talk about 529 accounts and custodial accounts, custodial Roth IRAs. But my general advice usually is, you know, everyone, when they have a kid, they want to, you know, start investing for them immediately, which is great. But what I always, you know, go back to is, well, how's your retirement savings right. going first? And, you know, what I always say is, when you're in a plane and they tell you if the oxygen mask comes on, you need to put yours on first mm-hmm. before helping, you know, your child. And that's what you need to do with investing, too, is make sure that your retirement plan is set and all your goals are met. And, you know, and then start saving for your kids' retirement or kids' education.
It's the same advice for life insurance.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, you don't need to buy a policy on your kid.
Right.
That's not the risk here. So
right.
Anyway, let's take our last few minutes here of time to talk about the whole Social Security thing. Again, millennials, I don't think millennials and Gen Zers probably have little idea. I hope that they're going to get anything out of that system. What are you hearing from your clients? And again, I think it's 2034. If they don't do something about the Social Security Trust Fund, everybody's benefits go down 30% or something. I think it's 30%.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on how do we save this system and make sure it's fair and equitable for younger people, really?
Well, I don't know how to save, you know, Social Security system. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to touch that.
Yeah.
But what
you only play an actuary on the radio, right?
But what I do when I'm working with clients, when we're doing the financial planning process, we have software where we can stress the Social Security benefits for clients. And depending on, you know, what their retirement date is and how old they are, we stress that at different levels. Mm-hmm. So if you're retiring in 10 years, then we might stress it by, you know, 30 or 50%. And if you're, you know, not retiring for 20 or 30 years, then I just get rid of Social Security altogether yeah. in your plan and make sure that you're still saving enough mm-hmm. for yourself.
So last week, you know, I had some political guys on the radio, and I think it was a consensus, and it's really nice to see that we have a millennial on one of the tickets. You know, J.D. Vance is 39 years old. I think that's one of his, you know, I don't necessarily agree with him on all of his stuff that he's talked about over the years, but he's definitely a smart guy. And really, I think it'll be great to have a millennial involved in this whole discussion about Social Security and Medicare. And because really, you know, the healthcare costs are eating the country alive and people alive. Anyway, anything else? We got like 20 seconds. You got anything else you want to say about this topic?
Invest early and invest often.
Invest early and invest often. Ashley, thanks so much for being here again, and we'll certainly have you back soon. All right, folks, we'll be with Dan Down on the other side of the break, so please stay tuned.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.